This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله العليم الخبير المتقن نظام العالم بلا معين ونصير فسبحان الله الذي حكمته بالغة وعلمه غزير ونعمه واصلة إلى كل صغير وكبير ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في نقير ولا قطمير ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي هدانا بكتاب منير ودعانا إلى الله بالإنذار والتبشير صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ما دامت الكواكب تسير أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنك ميت وإنهم ميتون ثم إنكم يوم القيامة عند ربكم تختصمون صدق الله العظيم. We concluded on a very emotional note, and that is where he صلى الله عليه وسلم was based at the house of Aisha radiallahu anha after the honorable consorts had consented mutually and happily to his request, and he then asked of them to pour water from 7 containers. They obliged. Nabi alayhi salam then came out and made a public address. The narration that follows thereafter is that of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He says, دخلت على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يوعك فمسسته بيدي. I went to visit Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, and he was in extreme pain and he was extremely unwell at that time. I felt him with my hand, and can you imagine the honor touching the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Aisha radiallahu anha says, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into the bed, hatta lasiqa jilduhu bi jildi, hatta lasiqa jilduhu bi jildi, until my skin touched the blessed skin of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People die to get a glimpse of dignitaries and whatever else. Can you imagine? لَسِقَ جِلْدُهُ بِجِلْدِي. And he says, I touched the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anas radiallahu anhu said, مَسَسْتُ حَرِيرًا. I've touched silk and I've touched many things, but in my life I've never touched something more gentle and more soft and more tender. Alyan min kaffi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the blessed palm of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I said, Ya Rasulullah, innaka latu'aku wa'akan shadida. O Nabi of Allah, you experienced severe fever, severe pain, severe difficulty. He said, inni u'aku kama yu'aku rajulani minkum. I experience myself the pain, the fever that two of you experience. So what two of you has to contend with, I myself have to contend with that. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, look at the intelligent answer of the Sahabi while empathizing with the pain of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ لَكَ أَجْرَيْنَ وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ لَكَ أَجْرَيْنَ. Yes, O Nabi of Allah, we sympathize with your pain and difficulty, but surely for you is two rewards. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَجَلْ أَجَلْ, absolutely, absolutely. And then he said, مَا مِن مُسْلِمٍ يُصِيبُهُ أَذًا مِن مَرَضٍ فَمَا سِوَاهُ إِلَّا حَطَّ اللَّهُ بِهِ سَيِّئَاتِهِ كَمَا تَحُطُّ الشَّجَرَةُ وَرَقَهَا. That whenever a Muslim finds himself in any difficulty, be it something simple, pain, or something beyond, but that his sins fall away from him, just as a tree sheds its leaves away, in the very same way, the pain, difficulty of a believer expiates and atones for his wrongdoings. And now we move on to the next step. As part of the illness of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his final advisors, what was his wasiya? So wasiya we loosely translate as nasiha bit taqid, an emphasized advice. So generally, you know, people say, these were the last words of my late father, the last words of my teacher, or my senior, or my mentor. And sometimes a person might not adhere diligently to the advisors in the lifetime, but he holds on very passionately and rigidly to the parting advisors of his seniors. And honestly, if the ummah has to hold on to the final sermon of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there can be no two opinions. It's a synopsis of deen in its entirety. In fact, as we move on, the last two words, just two words, is a summarized version of huququllah and huququl ibad. So one of the first advisors he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had impressed upon us was that of Ansar. Lawla al-hijra لَكُنْتُ مْرَأً مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ. لولا الهجرة, the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم migrated, so he's a muhajir. If it wasn't for my migration and the virtue of migration, I would have been from amongst the Ansar. أَمَا تَرْضَوْنَ أَن يَذْهَبَ النَّاسُ بِالشَّاءِ وَالْبَعِيرِ وَتَرْجِعُونَ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ إِلَى رِحَالِكُمْ. In Hunayn, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam distributed the spoils of the war, and then he gave to some reverts, new reverts, large amounts of wealth and chunks of wealth, and some people felt excluded. Some people felt excluded in this distribution. And they said, سُيُوفُنَا تَقْتُرُ دِمَاءً وَيُعْتَى الْغَنِيمَةُ لِغَيْرِنَا, that the blood is dripping from our swords and the wealth has been given elsewhere. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gathered the Sahaba and then he told them that don't make this a basis of my love. Are you not happy that some return with cattle and others return with camels and others return with spoils of war? And you return with Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I will live with you, I will die with you, my word. And then they cried, حَتَّى بَلَّتْ دُمُوعُهُمْ, until their tears had dripped onto their beards and the entire face was drenched with tearing. So مَرَّ الْعَبَّاسُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ بِقَوْمٍ مِّنَ الْأَنصَارِ. Abbas radiallahu anhu passes by a group of the Ansar, يَبْكُونَ, they are crying. حِينَ اشْتَدَّ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَجْعُهُ, when the pain intensified and they started realizing and the fear started lurking and haunting them, it looks like it's getting closer by the minute. فَقَالَ لَهُمْ مَا يُبِكِيكُمْ. Abbas radiallahu anhu, the uncle of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, said, what makes you cry? They said, ذَكَرْنَا مَجْلِسَنَا مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. We reminiscing over the days where we used to come and sit with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and have our discussions with him, and now this looks like it's just slipping away from us. So we're just emotional about that because the way the moment is looking very delicate and bleak. فَدَخَلَ الْعَبَّاسُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Abbas radiallahu anhu went to visit Nabi alayhi salam, فَأَخْبَرَهُ, and he informed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that I passed by the Ansar and this is what transpired. فَعُصِّبَ بِعِصَابَةٍ دَسْمَاءٍ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a black cloth that was tied around his blessed head. And he came out, صَعِدَ الْمِنْبَرِ, he then ascended the pulpit. وَلَمْ يَسْعَدْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ, and that was the last he ascended the pulpit. فَحَمِدَ اللَّهَ وَأَثْنَى عَلَيْهِ, he praised and glorified Allah. ثُمَّ قَالَ, he then said, أُوصِيكُمْ بِالْأَنصَارِ, I advise you and remind you and impress upon you to be kind to the Ansar. They are very close to me. I have shared my secrets with them. That's a summary of the words. I'm not going into all the details. They have been very loyal and faithful to me. Jazallahu anna ja'faran hina uzliqat bina na'luna lilwati'ina fazallati abaw an yamalluna walau anna ummana tulaqi alladhi laqawhu minna lamallati. Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu pays tribute to the Ansar. He says, they supported us for so long that even if our mother had to contend with us for so long, probably even she would get tired at some point. Even she would say that, you know what, and we know that a mother's love is relentless. It doesn't end, it doesn't cease. And that is why the analogy is given of the mother. Your brother can say, I'll help you, I'll carry you, I'll assist you, I'll support you. But listen, now it's time you stand on your own feet. Your dad will do, your boss will do, your colleague will do, your spouse will do. But each one comes to a burning point. And a mom is one who continues unabated, relentlessly. But Sayyidina Abu Bakr says the Ansar was such that they supported us to the extent that probably even our biological mothers would reach fatigue at some point. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أُمَّنَا تُلَاقِ الَّذِي لَاقَوْهُ مِنَّا لَمَلَّتِي. Subhanallah, that was the Ansar. كُونُوا أَنصَارَ اللَّهِ. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قَدْ قَضَوْا الَّذِي عَلَيْهِمْ, they have discharged the obligation upon them. وَبَقِيَ الَّذِي لَهُمْ, now what is owed to them remains. فَاقْبِلُوا مِنْ مُحْسِنِهِمْ وَتَجَاوَزُوا عَنْ مُسِيئِهِمْ, so accept from those amongst them who do good and noble, and overlook those who might err in some way or the other. وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ شِدَّةُ مَحَبَّةِ الْأَنصَارِ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And the hadith speaks clearly about the intense love that just imagining that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam is now going to leave and depart from us, they are crying, they are wailing, they are sobbing, and afraid about what's going to happen in the days, weeks, months ahead. The second wasiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was to expel the disbelievers from Arabia. لقد ازدادت شدة المرض على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now the illness was intensifying to the extent حيث كان يغمى عليه في اليوم الواحد مرات عديدة. He صلى الله عليه وسلم would suffer unconsciousness multiple occasions on one day. So he would be conscious, then he would slip into a state of unconsciousness, then he would regain consciousness back and forth, up and down, multiple times in one day. وَمَعَ ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ أَحَبَّ أَن يُفَارِقَ. And this is something very important, and we need to focus. Every aspect is important. But often people level nasty allegations against Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu with regards to this hadith. So it's important that we understand it holistically and objectively. ومع ذلك كله أحب صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يفارق الدنيا وهو مطمئن على أمته أن تظل من بعده. And even at that time, at that critical moment, he still remains very much concerned about the well-being of the ummah. And that was the selfless nature of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. And I often say, this ummah has collapsed from the time it moved away from a selfless nature to a selfish nature. When we started thinking local, personal, myself, that's the time we lost the global vision, the vision of the ummah in its entirety. One great scholar advising another said, when you're giving an address, don't just intend 10 people, intend that Allah transmit my message to all. And by virtue of your intention, Allah will transmit it, and proportionately Allah will reward you. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is in his fatal illness. It's very close. This is now 4 days. 4 days. This is what the scholars of hadith have written. 4 days prior to the sad demise. فَأَرَادَ أَن يَكْتُبَ لَهُمْ كِتَابًا مُفَصَّلًا لِيَجْتَمِعُوا عَلَيْهِ وَلَا يَتَنَازَعُوا. So he intended writing a document which will be a source of guidance for them and to protect them from deviation. He asked of them, give me a paper and a pen. And hence the hadith is known as qirtas. Qirtas literally means paper. وَلَوْ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ كِتَابًا فِي قِرْطَاسٍ فِي قِرْطَاسٍ قَرَاطِيسَ تُبْدُونَهَا وَتُخْفُونَ كَثِيرًا. Qaratis is the plural of the word qirtas. Qirtas literally means a paper. This hadith is known as hadith qirtas, the hadith of the paper. So let's understand this. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked his noble companions 4 days prior to his demise, give me a paper and an ink pot and a pen to write. And in that he intends writing certain guidelines to rescue, protect the ummah. In the gathering around the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam are the legendary, giant, intellectual, stalwarts, veterans, the likes of Umar radiallahu anhu and others. And Umar radiallahu anhu, looking at the terminally ill condition of Nabi alayhi salam, that he's unwell, he's in excruciating pain, he's not keeping well, he did not want to burden Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam or subject him to engage in anything which might be cumbersome or tedious for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we can never entertain in the most remote thought that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu would oppose or refute or challenge or disagree or go against the will of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You cannot take any hadith in isolation. Study it in a holistic way. We know Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was the man, ما من نبي إلا وله وزيران من أهل السماء ووزيران من أهل الأرض فأما وزيراي من أهل الأرض فأبو بكر وعمر وأما وزيراي من أهل السماء فجبريل وميكائيل. Every prophet has heavenly ministers and earthly. My earthly ministers are Abu Bakr and Umar. إن الله باها بالناس عشية عرفة عامة وباها بعمر خاصة. On Arafah, Allah was boasting about my Sahaba, but Umar, Allah was boasting about you personally. Ibn Asakir's narration, Jibreel came down, لَقَدْ إِسْتَبْشَرَ أَهْلُ السَّمَاءِ بِإِسْلَامِ عُمَرِ. O Nabi of Allah, today the joy is not limited to the earth. There is double excitement in the heavens over the fact that Sayyidina Umar reverted to Islam. Aisha radiallahu anhu said, إِنْ شِئِتُمْ أَنْ يَطِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَجْلِسِ. If you want to add flavor to your gathering, then be sure to talk of Umar radiallahu anhu. This is how you can add flavor to your gathering. So you're talking of such a person who is so close and attached to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sayyidina Umar said, no, Don't give it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not in any form of denial, but respecting the pain. Often you go and visit a person who's sick, and the sick person would say, you know what, give me some water. And you as a visitor want to diligently oblige, and probably the guardian or the son from the rear would indicate to you, no, no, daddy shouldn't be having water now. Daddy is asking everyone, just leave it. We're talking to the doctors, we understand. This is a separate issue altogether. I'm not equating this here. I don't want to mince my words. I want to be clear on this. All I'm saying is, a sick person is asking you for something. You intend good, but it's not always in the interest of that particular patient, in a separate scenario altogether. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, don't give it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He's unwell, and we don't want to subject him. And the Quran is there for us as a source of guidance. So Nabi alayhi salam is going to write down something to protect us from going astray. Surely that would be an added boost, benefit, favor, etc. But the Quran remains with us. Few Sahaba supported the view of Umar radiallahu anhu that I think momentarily hold it back and don't give the paper. So for the moment, just hold back. While other Sahaba held the view that no, let's give the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, since he requested. And we cannot doubt the integrity of either of the two groups amongst the Sahaba. The motive was noble of both. The motive was noble of both. So the group that were of the opinion that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam should be given the qirtas as requested by him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they said, Hajar, Hajar. Now these are key words. Hajar. So is Hamza istifham, and istifham inkari. Hajar means to utter something that is incoherent, something that is strange, something that is foolish. So they said, the Nabi of Allah in his entire life has never ever blurred anything. He's never uttered anything that's incoherent. He's never uttered anything that is obscured. He only utters that which is correct and straight and balanced and correct. In other words, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam is free from uttering anything that is out of line, regardless of him being in a state where he might slip into unconsciousness or he is alert. There's no fear. There's no fear whatsoever that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an average human, you and I, when we're groggy or perhaps they've sedated us, you get up, you know what, you're hallucinating, you're talking things out of line. That's you and I. But these Sahaba said, and rightfully so, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never ever utter such a thing. So they said, Hajara. This is key to understand. They asking a question and negating it. Did the Nabi of Allah ever utter anything that obscured? No, never. No, never. No, never. So go ahead and give him the paper. Now, some narrations have it as Hajara without the Hamza in it. When Hajara here is in the context of the meaning of uttering things that are, you know, perhaps foolish, naive, you know, obscured, etc., etc. Samiran tahjurun, mustakbirina bihi samiran tahjurun. The first thing we need to understand, that the word Hajara was not the statement of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. The second thing, Sayyidina Umar did not ever say, and it is blasphemous, it is blasphemous, it is preposterous, it is ludicrous, it is bizarre, it is insane to accuse Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu that he would ever say that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is blurting something that is not correct. Wal'iyadu billah, wal'iyadu billah. How can Sayyidina Umar ever say such a thing? But rather it was the group of Sahaba who held the view that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam should be given the paper. They said, Hajara, did the Nabi of Allah ever utter anything that's not correct? No, never. So give it to him. He will write and advise us. The narrations in which the Hamza is not found, the scholars of Hadith say it will be mahmooled on a Hamza that's muqaddar. That based on the narration, and that's the general rule, when there's ambiguity into something, you will go to that which is transparent and clear. Allah says the verses of the Quran, there's mutashabihat and there's muhkamat. And if you want to unpack the ambiguity, you will go back to the muhkamat, because they are ummul kitab. So you will then assume that the Hamza is also in the text. So no Sahabi from either of the two suggested or implied or insinuated that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam uttered anything that was incoherent. Rather, the group that wanted to support the fact that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam should be given the paper, they were saying that he would never utter anything that's incorrect, so allow him and give him the paper. This created a bit of a scuffle and a bit of a difference of opinion and somewhat of a verbal altercation. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's not befitting of you to argue in the presence of a Nabi. So you know what, just leave it and you can stand up and go. So this is the long and short of the hadith of Qirtas. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was not motivated by anything but the well-being of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then فَلَمَّا اخْتَلَفُوا عِنْدَهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَدَلَ عَنْ كِتَابَةِ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَوْصَاهُمْ بِأُمُورٍ ثَلَاثَةٍ. Then he said, okay, just leave it, you know, it's not befitting of you to argue in the presence of a Nabi. And then he said, I'm giving you three advices. Now again, in the three, the narrator mentions two, but he slips up on the third one. And I've checked few books of Sirah, it's not mentioned. The scholars of Hadith have given potential possibilities. It could be this, it could be this, it could be this. But explicit mention are two out of the three. أَجِيزُ الْوَفْدَ بِنَحْوِ مَا كُنْتُ أُجِيزُهُمْ بِهِ. One was that the delegations, when they come in, then allow them to come. And I used to give them, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's practice was when the delegations would leave, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would allow their arrival and their departure very, you know, freely, accommodated, entertaining. And then he would give them gifts, he would give them tokens. So he said, allow for this practice to continue. When delegations come, visiting people come, allow them to come and go and give them a gift. This was a practice of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So continue this practice. أَخْرِجُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنْ جَزِيرَةِ الْعَرَبِ. Expel the polytheists from the Arabian Peninsula. And the third message that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given, the Rawi, the narrator of the hadith, had slipped up on. So it's important for us to understand this hadith of Qirtas as I had described it, and we should not become victims of any propaganda against Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. We need to analyze it in a holistic way, and we need to understand this here. If you're saying anything else, then that is, you know, questioning the very integrity of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had selected for the partnership and the companionship of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll conclude on the last advice and the last wasiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. كان من آخر ما تكلم به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. One of the final advices in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke is he hurled a curse at those people who made the graves of prophets into places of worship. And he said, don't let that happen to me. Don't worship my grave. So it's very important that as much as we love, respect, revere and honor the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we do not worship Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was the first words uttered by Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu when he confirmed the demise of Nabi alayhi salam. Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan falya'lam anna Muhammadan qad mat. Whoever worshipped Nabi alayhi salam should realize that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed on. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ. And whoever worshipped Allah, then he can realize and know, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. Allah is alive and Allah will never pass away. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned and cautioned his sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in not to make his grave into a place of worship where you worship the actual grave. And this had happened with the previous anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. Of course, the virtue and the merit and the significance of visiting the grave of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam is irrefutable. And we go there and we send salutations on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But we worship Allah. Man zara qabri wajabat lahu shafa'ati. The one who visits my grave, then for him my intercession will become incumbent. May Allah make us amongst those fortunate people. Utahhiru athwabi wa qalbi mudnasun. وأخشى سهام الموت تفجأ غفلة وما سار بي نحو الرسول ركاب وقلبي معمور بحب محمد فما لي في غير الحجاز طلاب يحن إلى أوطانه كل مسلم فقدس منها منزل وجناب فأسعد أيامي إذا قيل هذه منازل من وادي الحما وقباب فجسمي في مصر وروحي بطيبة. The poet says, أطهر أثوابي, I purify my clothes, وقلبي مدنس, while sadly my heart is soiled. وأخشى سهام الموت تفتأ غفلة, and I'm afraid the arrow of death might strike suddenly. وما سار بي نحو الرسول ركاب, and I haven't yet made my way to the blessed city of Medina Munawwara. وقلبي معمور بحب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. The love of Nabi عليه السلام permeates in my entire heart. فمالي في غير الحجاز طلاب. Open my heart and you'll see I have no other aspiration but to go and visit the grave of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and send salutations upon him. فأسعد أيامي. The greatest day in my life would be when I open my eyes and I'm told that I'm standing at the sacred grave of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah make us amongst the fortunate people who can send salutations on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam abundantly, and that we could be privileged and honored to visit his grave. وصلي اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين.